Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where you'll hear blasphemous comments about the Kelseys.
Well, it's not about it's
which
about
which are not allowed.
It's about, you know, folks from Northeast Ohio, man. If you just don't like them, then it's on you. So you just can't read that stuff. You can't let that stuff make you emotional, Jeff.
Really, Andy?
You just can't.
Good to know. I'm glad you have everything under control, because when it comes to rational thinking, when it things like that, you're my boy.
Oh, I'm your blue. Is that what you're trying to say?
Blue.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. All right, I asked you a question. We went to break.
Yeah.
I don't know if you need to do this or not, but you just won a national championship. Everybody was so down on Ryan Day about a month ago. Would you extend him? Now, let's say this on the notion that he's under his current contract. He signed a 7-year contract extension in May of 2022. Worth $66.5 million.
So he's under contract until about 2029.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You ready? It is weird.
You ready for this?
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about Cavalier draft picks in 31, then why wouldn't we talk about college football contracts going into the 30s?
Okay, let me give you this.
Okay.
You know how in college football, college athletics, hey, I'm here. Oh, wait a minute. This school just hired me. And we're just paying buyout, but I'm moving.
Yeah.
You know, so I pledged my allegiance to fill in the blank state.
I will even turn my accent southern if you hire me down south.
But now that somebody else wants to pay me more money, I'm going, and they're going to buy me out of my contract and go. If it's more like an NFL system for the players, shouldn't it be more like an NFL system for the coaches? In other words, Kevin Stefanski is under contract. He suddenly can't get a better deal from the Raiders and go. And I think it should be the same way in college football. So, no, you do not have to extend Ryan Day.
Though I would be really excited for the Kevin Stefanski version of this.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana.
Family.
Hanging out in the Cajun corner of Connecticut.
Apparently he just got off the phone with Jerry Jones. Talking to Jerry. Jared told me.
You know, when I was in Cincinnati, I picked up the accent like this because I used to spend most of my lunches on the other side of the Ohio River.
15 years in the northern part of Michigan. Did not get to my brain.
That is 100% correct, my friend. I am sweltering down here from the heat.
Lordy.
Lordy. Those northerners, they...
I don't like
Andy,
those...
Andy, you've dropped into a Georgia accent at this point. You're not even Louisiana
I'm
anymore.
Not trying to be Louisiana. I'm just trying to be SEC
He's trying
Southern.
To be south of the Mason-Dixon line.
That's
all he's shooting for.
I mean, all you got to do is get me on the other side of Hamilton County. And I pick up, this could be my Kentucky accent. I don't care.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana.
You know, he gave it away with the way he said Tiger. Because he all of a sudden, he's kind of going Southern, and then all of a sudden, Tiger, instead of Tiger.
One help at a gumbo, and you think you belong.
Not a gumbo
fan. I was doing...
Every time I look and I see that claw in there, I think, eh.
That Louisiana-Mississippi accent is tough. It's tough to understand.
The Texas accent's pretty basic. I got an easy Texas accent, so that's an easy one to do.
I
had to make sure I didn't pick it up when I lived down there.
I'm just trying to figure out if I want to call out my buddy. I got a buddy, Marcus. I'll just leave it at that, right?
Freeman?
No.
You know, he's a bunch better coach than Ryan Day.
He played at, he's a great track coach. Sorry. He's a great track coach around Northeast Ohio. He played football at Youngstown State. And he's from Mississippi. And I love talking to him. Love his passion. Think he's awesome. But man, there are just sometimes I cannot understand a word he is saying.
It's like the coach in Waterboy.
Yeah. And I feel bad because I don't ever want to say.
I worked with guys who had the same accent as the coach in Waterboy. Because where I was in Texas was basically Cajun country.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically Louisiana.
Right.
And it's, oh my goodness, that's an accent.
Oh, that Creole accent needs subtitles.
Unbelievable.
It's hard, man.
And the way they spell names, unbelievable.
Burrow with an X. EUO.
How about this one? DOM. INGUE. DOMINGUE. You would think it'd be like Domingue.
Yeah.
Domain. Domain.
So that Creole accent, it's
unbelievable.
This reminds me of a story from last year. I shouldn't even tell the story, but there was a high school team that was coming down from Toronto, and their bus broke down on the way in. And so they called the other school they were going to, and they're like, oh, I don't think we're going to be able to make the game. We're stuck in Canute. And they're like, where are you?
Canute.
Canute. Do you know what city I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're in Canute, and I think it's probably a long way away, so we're going to maybe try to get the bus fixed and head back up to Toronto. And they're like, where are you? Canute. You mean, are you in Ohio? Yeah, we're in Ohio, but we're in Canute. The guy wanted to argue it, and they're like, you're in Conneaut, and you're really not that far away. all right, so do we like playoff?
We'll send the new bear to come get you.
Yes. Wait, I'm sorry. I wanted to talk about the extension, the college football extension.
Yeah, glad you wanted to get back to that.
Well, I do. I'm not signing him to an extension. There's no way. It's too far away.
Do you think college coaches, though, should be treated like NFL coaches? I do without question. You signed a contract. You're making $10 million. You can't go somewhere else. You're under contract.
No, unless...
Why college coaches have been allowed to just bounce from gig to gig to gig, to me, is just silly. I hate it.
It's
hypocritical is what it is.
There are two different perspectives on this.
Although now with NIL, it's not as hypocritical because the players can do the same thing.
I'll give you two different perspectives. If you're an upper echelon college football coach and you're making $10 million a year, I agree with you. But the joke that Kent State had with Geno Ford trying to go to Bradley a few years ago, I mean, Kent State is notorious for being the lowest paid university in all of NCAA, no matter what. And, you know, Geno had the opportunity to go to Bradley, which was a major upgrade, and make a lot more money. And, you know, if Kent State wasn't willing to pay for a coach that was helpful to get them to the NCAAs or at least bump them up or try to figure out a way to do it, I don't understand. You're going to stop somebody from going advancing their career at that point if you're going to be a university that doesn't want to advance. Luckily, they got rid of that administration, and that administration's long gone, and it seems like Kent State's in a much bit better direction these days. But I go back and I think about that Geno Ford story at Kent over the last couple years.
Okay.
And there's a guy that deserved to be able to leave, especially because Bradley was going to pay the buyout.
I can't argue with that because there's a buyout in there, except for one thing. And I agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
But contracts are contracts. They're not in college sports for coaches, and I think they should be. I think you should tighten up the NIL. If you're going to pay a player fill in the blank $1 million, All right, well, then you're here. You're not bouncing next year to someplace else. You're here. And the same thing should be the case for coaches, I believe.
Yeah, then what do you
and,
think
and,
about...
And if you're a coach in the MAC and you're hoping to get that next big deal, I get it. Well, then do a good job, and when your contract's up, go. Then you can go.
Unless you have a buyout within your contract.
Unless you have a big buyout, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just... I mean, whether people know it or not, unbelievably embarrassing for Kent State University on that Geno Ford situation. Like, I was embarrassed to say I went to school there at that point because I was like, this is the only school in the country that's doing this, and this is petty, and this is really, really stupid. And, they had let every one of those other coaches go before that, and what he had done there was, I thought, amazing. Again, that's
so,
just
so are
one
you giving
story.
Ryan Day an extension or not?
No, I'm not. Not at this
not
point.
Either.
I mean, it's a seven-year deal. I mean, he's good. What do we say till 30?
2029.
Yeah, he's good till 29. Plus, I mean, the deal's worth what, $66.5 million. His base is $2 million annually. But
again, Stella's already cleaned out the room at the bank for him, so it's all
yeah,
good.
That's fine. Yeah, no, I'm not. There's no reason for an extension. And the other thing too is like, who's going to pay the buyout if you want to fire him? Like, this was the silly part of the whole. They need to fire him after Michigan. Who was coming up with $37.2 million to buy him out? Because that's what his buyout was as of December 1st.
A disgruntled rich alum.
Who's got... I don't care how rich you are. That's just stupid money.
Yeah, it's exactly
you're going
right.
to throw away $37 million? Oh, well, I guess we'll lose to Michigan the next 10 years in a row. Whatever. That $37 million is a lot of money. And maybe you were hoping that it'll take $10 million to get out of it now, and he can earn interest just like taking the lump sum in the lottery, right? Okay, well, you can get that money back if you do the same thing.
I wouldn't know.
No, I wouldn't know either. But I'm not extending him at this point. Plus, he's got these great bonuses every time they win another phase of this thing. So, all right, let's turn the page. We're going to talk a little bit about the Cavaliers coming up here. Mobley, Okoro are out tonight. Rockets are playing good ball. We still sit here and we kind of contemplate with this trade deadline coming up, 2 weeks from tomorrow, what the Cavaliers might be looking at, what the Cavaliers might be saying. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. We're going to bring it back up again. We're sitting there on the verge of the trade deadline. Are you getting anxious, Cavs fans? 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps. Yeah, let me stay along those lines for a second because then I want to get to the Cavs who are taking on Houston today, and we'll get to that in a second here. I don't know if you saw this, but another mock draft came out. Mel Kiper, just your thoughts on this. He said... looking for the Browns, and if things go right the way he thinks, Travis Hunter would be at number 2 for the Browns. Just your initial reactions on that. I think we're going to play that. Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. I think I'm okay with that. I don't know why. I mean, you're talking about a rock-solid athlete, like as good as they get. And, the question is where is he playing? Is he playing wide receiver or is he playing corner?
Both, but corner. Mainly corner.
I'm good with it. I think if they made that selection, I'd be okay. Again, I'll go back to what we were arguing about yesterday. I know Mary Kay had her thoughts on this too, that I'm just like, I'm just not in for a quarterback at 2 this year. I'm not there.
You keep saying that.
I'm not.
Yeah, except for one thing.
I don't feel, there's no except for one thing for me. There might be for you, but go ahead.
Well, what if they deem somebody really good at number 2 for quarterback and he's really good?
Okay. What if you mean a what if something else and
then stop renting?
Yeah, I don't have any.
It's stop renting what?
Your home. Bye. You're gonna be here for a minute.
Oh, you mean the quarterback?
Everybody, GM, quarterback, entire offensive staff.
I mean, Andy,
head coach.
There's the possibility that there's a quarterback available to them at 2. Who's the answer? And they need to discover if that is the case. You can't just dismiss. Nope. Don't take a quarterback at 2. I don't think any of us can at this point.
We are going to sit here, and the hype train is going to elevate quarterbacks into the top 5 like it happens every year. And every year, 50 to 60 to 70% of these teams get disappointed because we're elevating the quarterback position, because we're trying to rush the quarterback position for a top. I just don't see the slam dunk this year. Don't see it.
But listen, this is not personal.
Sure.
I wouldn't expect you to. I wouldn't expect me to.
Okay.
I wouldn't expect Dan to or
that's
Meredith.
I would expect Meredith.
I would expect
that's
Andrew.
A good call, Meredith.
I would expect Andrew Berry to get it right. Why? Because
based on what?
Because of the position he has. I'm not giving faith in him. What I'm saying is, Andy, they have to get it right. So I don't think any of us can dismiss a quarterback at two. Andrew Berry can, because they've deemed this person not worthy of that commitment from this organization. So just stay tuned. And I truly don't think any of us can make a blanket statement. You can't take a quarterback at two, or you must take a quarterback at two.
I just
don't think that this situation calls for that yet.
I've watched this year after year after year. Quarterbacks who are okay get elevated to good, great, or the almighty, powerful ego of some of those within organizations sit around and go, I'm going to make this player into a franchise quarterback.
And quarterbacks
and
who...
And teams that don't operate that way have success in the NFL.
And teams and quarterbacks who slide a little bit get drafted at 10 and then turn into Patrick Mahomes. So a lot of different things can happen here. Let's just give Andrew Berry and his staff a little leeway and avoid blanket statements like you must or you can't.
I truly
don't think we're there yet in this process.
I don't have a quarterback in this draft that I've personally seen that makes me go, oh my God, the Browns have to get that guy at number two. They have other needs, and maybe they trade out of it. I think there are a lot of quarterbacks in this draft that maybe, if they're coached up, could be very, very good quarterbacks. But as of today, I don't see that. And the problem I have with the number two selection in the draft, or any top five pick in the draft, and that's and probably deeper than that, is that there is this rush to get guys on the field and have them start week one because they've been drafted so high. And I think that we bust our expectations on that year in and year out, over and over and over again. We set ourselves up for failure especially when we bring a quarterback. It's the only position where they'll draft somebody who may not be ready week one, and then they end up throwing them in the fire within the first 5 weeks of the season. I've seen it way too many times. All I'm saying is, if you're drafting a quarterback at two, he should probably be your starter week one, and I don't see a quarterback in NCAA football right now that's ready for that. That's me. I'm not Andrew Berry, but I'm tired of watching the Browns waste picks, and I can't be alone on that.
I think you're making some big assumptions based on history, which, of course, is a good way to make some assumptions.
If you don't recognize it, you'll repeat it.
Well, and let's just see where this goes. Just give them some time. I truly don't think it. I think it's too early, Andy, to make the blanket statement about the quarterbacks. You know,
where are we going to get new information?
They'll do some. They're going to do some digging. That's what they're paid for.
Yeah, but your eyes.
That's what they're paid for.
So what you're saying
is. My eyes showed me, and, you know, we're doing this, you know, let's find us a quarterback shtick.
Right.
And we're going to do that later today.
Sure.
I started with Cam Ward, and Dan said, tweak it and go veterans. We're going to be getting closer to the draft. So I haven't looked at the young guys as much.
Right.
I'm going over some of the veterans who are going to be there. I thought Cam Ward will look great on tape. I thought, man, I could see that guy succeeding in the NFL. Now, can I see him succeeding to the point where he should be my number two pick? Or do I see him succeeding to the point where he should be a late first round pick and you're sitting there and you're patient with him and you hope he becomes something in 3 years?
You said a keyword.
I don't know the difference there.
You just said
if you want to know the truth, I can't look at him and see. I watched Josh Allen years ago and I thought, this guy's a beast. He must be drafted, and you must take him, and he's going to be phenomenal. To me, he jumped off the tape. Cam Ward was really interesting, but he didn't jump off the tape the same way Josh Allen did.
Let me rephrase the question for you, okay? And you said something I thought was very poignant right there.
Oh, nice.
Patient.
Well, with some guys, you have to be.
Patient.
In fact, with all young guys, you have to be.
So I'm going to ask you.
I mean, the Chiefs were with Patrick Mahomes.
Because they kind of could be. Time.
Well, they had good quarterback.
Yes. So, do
and the Browns
you,
can find somebody who can come in and be the starter.
Do you think the Browns have patience? when it comes to drafting.
What I think the Browns have to do.
It's not what I asked. Do you think the Browns have patience?
I don't know.
That's a fair answer. I can live with that one.
I don't know.
Baker
Mayfield was the number one pick, and they put him on the field. And they probably should have. He did okay. You know, that's a guy you should have played. And they did.
So I still have Johnny Manziel, like...
Well, but now where was Johnny taken in the draft? 22, I believe.
And they forced him onto the field when he was not ready. And everybody in the coaching staff knew it. Well, why was he forced out on the field?
All of those people.
Why?
All of those people aren't here anymore.
Except?
The ownership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My question then is this. This is my bigger question for you. When you take someone at two, how quick do you expect them to play?
It depends on the person, Andy. Statements on this. I mean, what the one thing I've said about quarterback is this: if the Browns think there is somebody in this draft who they see at quarterback who could be their quarterback, starting quarterback for the next decade, then they need to take him at two. If they think he can be their starter and be pretty good, you should take him at two. And if that means you have to sit with him for a year, then you sit with him for a year. And you go out and sign one of the guys that we've talked about on our Let's Find Us a Quarterback, and you bring him in and you make him the starter for a year, whether it be Carson Wentz, whether it be Daniel Jones, whether it be Jameis Winston.
Is there you don't have to answer this today.
Because the team better show some results, Andy. Otherwise, Stefanski's not going to be here and Andrew Berry's not going
to
be here.
You don't have to answer this today.
I mean, they have to thread the needle here.
And I'll give you time before you say this. Do you see Josh Allen in this draft? Do you see a player of that? And I'm not saying that's what I was going to ask you.
I haven't looked enough
yet. I was going to say.
Menigan told me not to look at the young guys yet.
Okay, so don't look at the young guys. Here's what I want. I want to know
the Buck Phelps.
Who is the Jeff Phelps, Josh Allen of this draft before we get to the draft?
I don't think there is one, but I'll let you know.
Okay.
I do think Cam Ward was really interesting. I mean, he looked good. Did he look good? He didn't do for me what Josh Allen did for me when looking at the tape.
If I'm playing the odds, I just don't want the Browns. After looking at the quarterbacks in this draft and hearing what the experts have had to say time and time again on our show, I'm not leaning towards a quarterback at all at number two.
That's all right.
For the Browns this year. Yeah. I just don't see it.
They might feel the same way.
Yeah, and if they do draft one at two, I think they're going to rush them out on the field. They're not going to be ready, and we're going to have another failure.
I've thrown this out numerous times. Nobody wants to hear it, especially Dan. Dan cringes every time I say it. There are so many guys out there at the quarterback spot this year. And so far from what I've seen of the young quarterbacks, Andy, the guys in the draft, I'm with you. I'm not really sold on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they scare me at number two.
Yeah, I'm not sold on quarterback. I'm not sold on them at number two. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I get that. But again, if you think somebody's going to be really good, doesn't matter where you take him. You take him because you think he's going to be really good. Doesn't matter what position in the draft he is. But this idea I like a lot. And it's go sign one of those veterans. And I've laid this out for some time now. Go sign fill-in-the-blank veteran, Daniel Jones, Carson Wentz. Play him for a year or so while Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or Trey Lance, or Sam Howell, you picked him up from Seattle, let's say.
Sure.
Sits here for a year or so and figures it out. And then you have two guys that you can actually play, one of whom could be your long-term guy. That idea, I think, is interesting.
Jeff in Cleveland. Go ahead, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, I just watched Mel Kiper's first mock draft.
Yeah.
And he has us taking Travis Hunter.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I agree because no quarterback is ready now. Shadur is not mobile, and I like him, but he's not mobile, and you got to move around. Unless you're going to tell me that the Browns' offensive line is going to be 100% better this year than it was last year, I want Travis on a trade down. You need more than one person. Shadur's not ready to start next year if you get him. You can't rush him out there.
Yeah, I don't. Neither Jeff or I don't know what Jeff said. I'm not going to argue with you on that, and I don't even think. We haven't even really gone into that point today. So,
Andy, it's because you're right most of the time. I don't know what Jeff is doing. everything you said today, Andy, is 100% right. I wish I could just listen to Andy Baskin. You know.
All right, Jeff. Those flowers, they're in the mail. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Dare I say that I've known Jeff for about 30 years and we're friends and we were texting last night? He loves bashing me. It's my buddy.
Fixed.
It's my buddy right there.
Maybe you should listen to him every once in a while. I got a couple more phone calls on this. I know, again, we were just talking and it just kind of was off the cuff what Mel Kiper was thinking about Travis Hunter and the Browns. Talk a little bit more about that, but I do want to get into the Cavs when we come back. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Bill Bender is going to join us at high noon. So we're going to talk to Bill Bender from the Sporting News, and we'll talk a little bit about the NFL. We'll get some quarterbacks talk with him, too, as well. Oh, my God, I just went Southern. Did you hear that? We'll get some quarterback talk with him.
Gonna go do it with your family.
With my family. Such an honor and a pleasure to be working here in Georgia.
Thought it was Louisiana.
You can be Loserana, whatever that state is down there with the losers. Loserana. No, I'm just kidding. By the way, did you see I shouldn't bring this up probably now, but I will anyway.
Okay.
We were looking at a picture. It was in New Orleans, probably Times Picayune, right?
Yeah, it's Times Picayune.
It's so cold there right now that the streets have frozen over, and there was a guy ice skating with. He had skates on, he had a stick, he had a helmet. Good for him, he was wearing a helmet.
Floating around, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the front page of the Times Picayune is a guy walking down the street with a tuba playing down Bourbon Street.
Sure.
Man, they've had a rough run there last couple weeks. Not a lot of fun.
No, that's very true.
All right. So let's get into the Cavaliers. They are playing tonight in Houston, speaking of the bad weather.
We think.
And we're assuming that
We did get a Fedor update, didn't we, Dano?
Yes, Chris Fedor has officially touched down in Houston.
Oh, good for him.
Took him all day. He got in this morning. He'll be able to get there tonight. They opened the airport in the morning. So he is on the ground. Boots on the ground in Houston.
Do I need to say it or is it too trite?
I mean, if you have to ask, you already know the answer.
Mm-hmm. Houston, we no longer have a problem. Is that better?
I bet they still do.
Houston, we have one less problem.
Now he has to get from the airport to his hotel.
He'll make it, even if he has to skate.
He'll make it.
He can figure it out. Hey, he'll make it because he's a trooper, and we know he knows how to do that. All right, so Cavaliers tonight, Houston Rockets. Rockets are 28-14. They're second in the West right now. It's an 8 o'clock tip off. This should be a good game again tonight. Rockets are 14-7 at home, the Rockets have a lot of good things going for them right now. Trade deadline 2 weeks from tomorrow. Jeff, worried? Not worried? Who would they get rid of? Who wouldn't they? Who would they hang on to? The core four is not going anywhere. I think we kind of have a feel for what's going on. If I had to ask you right now, will the Cavaliers make a trade? You will say
yes.
And who is the asset or assets, future assets, that they may use to make a deal?
Second round picks.
Down the road.
Yeah.
And that's it?
Yep.
That's all they're going to have to give up?
Yep.
So,
In other words, I'm not expecting any blockbuster moves. I can see a little tinkering, though. Like the whole Cam Johnson thought.
Is that dead if he can only do it on second round picks?
I don't think it's necessarily dead. I just don't think it'll happen.
Is he the missing piece?
Oh, I don't know. I think his skill set's missing from the team. That I do think. Hmm. They're in a position, they've been so good in the regular season, which is all well and good. But the issue that I've had with the team for some time, since Donovan got here, hasn't changed. What's happened is Kenny Atkinson has made it work. I don't like the fact that the team is based around two smaller guards, and then you have two big guys along with them who I think are terrific. And the two smaller guards are terrific. But so much of the NBA now is based around you know, long, lanky guys on the wing. And I think teams like that could give the Cavaliers absolute fits in the playoffs. And I would like them to have more of a counterattack when it comes to playing teams like that, and I don't think they have it. Doesn't mean they can't win the series. Doesn't mean they can't win the whole thing. But, you know, if you're looking for something that could this be a problem, I think that could still be the problem. Despite Kenny Atkinson's great job of coaching this team, putting in an offense that really works and making it better. And hopefully that's enough to you know, make up for that, what I think is a real lacking aspect of the roster. On the other hand, what the Cavaliers have, other teams lack. You know, so it's like you get into a series and you coach it up and you see what happens. And there are no perfect rosters in the NBA. None. So take what you have, coach it up, and try and beat the other guys at what they do.
How much pressure is there on the Cavaliers to make a move, though? I don't think any.
They're the best team in the NBA record-wise.
But they always seem to make a move.
That's all right.
And that's okay. I kind of like, you know, why I like it because it seems like they're aggressive. And I do think they understand that sometimes you've got to give up something to get something if you think it's going to get you a better result when it's all said and done.
Yeah, in theory, that's all accurate. I don't think there's any pressure at all. The only thing is, are they comfortable with the roster knowing that the playoffs are coming up and they might have problems with teams that have that length out on the wing that can really change a game? You know, do you have people who can guard those guys well enough while they continue to produce on the offensive end? I don't know. We'll find out.
Is there something we talk about this wing, you know.
I wouldn't mind another big guy, too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Is there something else that you were looking for?
I wouldn't mind another big guy. I mean, what's going to happen if Jared Allen, if Evan Mobley miss any extended period of time? I think you could use another big guy.
And if you're a fan, like, so we're just kind of sitting around here.
No perfect rosters, and the Cavs have a really good one.
But what are you looking at? Are you looking at guys that are sitting on the bench right now on other teams that you think have some potential in that? Because I don't know. I don't know that they have the assets if you're just looking at it from second-round draft pick, or maybe you're looking for the expiring contract.
You're going to have teams that are going to move veterans because they're on expiring deals. And that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, there are ways to pick up guys down the stretch. Like they got Morris last year. And you can find guys. It'll happen.
You're hoping that there's a team that's got a pretty good guy out there that's willing, that they're just ready to go in a different direction. Don't you think you kind of got to play it that way?
Anybody who can come in and be a major difference maker, Andy, isn't going to come cheap. You know, like the Cam Johnson talk that's out there like crazy. He's not going to come cheap.
And then let me throw this at you, too, just because we've got a couple minutes here, too. The trade that happened yesterday with the Suns and the Jazz and, you know, the Cavs, those picks that are sitting in Utah right now possibly could end up in Phoenix because of the way they
is that deal official yet?
I saw this morning. I thought it was official.
I thought it was too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So again, if you're missing the trade that happened, three picks the Suns are getting. They'll get the least favorable of multiple picks owned by the Jazz in specific years. So in 2025. The Suns will get the least favorite. It sounds weird just saying.
It's weird that they're giving up three number one picks to get one number one pick. It seems like a little
bit of
a roll
of the dice.
But
how many of those number one picks are they actually going to be able to take?
Well, that's the thing. I wonder, you know, even after this trade, Andy, they have 11 first-round picks in the next seven drafts. The Utah Jazz, 11 in the next seven. You know, that's a team, you know?
So that's, on paper, though, it kind of with 11 picks, right, still to go, it seems to me like the Jazz is a pretty good deal for the Jazz. They're giving up picks that really aren't there. Wait, could one be theirs if it's a natural?
Yeah.
Of the worst pick? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not giving up their big prizes.
They're holding on to two picks in the first round in 2025, 27, and 29. So they're clearly dealing from a position of strength. I just think it's an interesting little gamble on the part of Utah that, okay, we're thinking that Suns pick in 2031, I mean, it is 2025, that's 6 years down the road.
Right.
We're dumping three first-rounders, And remember, you know, with the first round pick comes the extra year of guarantee and everything else. And, you know, they're not going to draft three guys. But I find it interesting that they traded it for one pick in 2031, thinking, let's see how that goes.
Okay, so I know this is
Either that or I don't understand the trade completely.
I know this is narrow thinking in some ways, and I think Dan was kind of on board with this when we were talking about it before the show, that in some ways it kind of feels like the Cavaliers may have won the Donovan Mitchell deal a little bit more with this trade, because don't you think that Utah is saying to themselves, well, there's a good chance that the Cavaliers are going to remain good, so that first round overall pick isn't going to be a really good pick after all in the first round. It's narrow thinking.
They have three first rounders in each of those years, and they're dealing the lowest of those. It could be Minnesota, although Minnesota hasn't been the same since they traded Karl Anthony Towns.
Right.
And, you know, if Utah gets its act together, it could be theirs. But, Donovan's been terrific here.
And re-signed here.
And
that was the key.
The Cavs gave up a boatload for him.
I mean, I was in the Phelps camp there for a minute thinking that maybe they gave up too much if for some reason he was going to leave.
I still think
if he left, now I don't know so much. I mean,
it's not just the draft picks. You gave up an all-star 6'11 guy. You gave up a guard who can play well. You gave up your first-round pick who's doing okay for Toronto.
They
gave up a boatload.
Was it worth it? Would you still have done it today? And have you changed? Because you were very much against it.
No, I forever will think they gave up too much. I think teams that make those trades, it comes back to bite them.
So far, it hasn't.
Well,
you
not
agree
here.
To that?
Not here.
Todd in Ward 1. Hi, Todd.
A monster rebounder, Jeff. A monster rebounder, Andy. I don't know who he is.
Todd, would you like a monster rebounder? I'm just curious because I can't. I need you to be clear on exactly what you want. Go ahead. One more time.
A monster rebounder. I don't want to hear any other conversation other than that. I don't know who he is. I don't know who he plays for. But there's nothing they need more than that. Because at the end of the season, they are going to have to deal with the Celtics, and they do not have a monster rebounder. They have good rebounders, but they don't have dudes that folks are scared to go up against them for that ball.
Sure, it's a good rebounder, but I'd love to add another guy if you could, Todd. I agree. Here's the thing.
Okay,
you have four spots locked up in your starting five, and your rotation's pretty set. And where are you going to find time for that guy? You're going to have to make it, and you're going to have to juggle some things. But that's okay. You know, if you take a step back in the regular season and make it a better playoff team in the long run, you're better off, right?
I would think so.
Yep.
In the long run is where the championship is determined.
That is correct.
All right. Talk to y'all later.
Thanks. I ask, you want a monster rebounder, what are you giving up? What do the Cavs have to give up? Future draft picks. What's the next first round? 31? When's the next time they can give up a first rounder? I thought it was
2030.
Oh, so 30. Okay, not 31. You've got that. You've got Caris LeVert's
expiring.
No,
the next time they can give one up is 2031.
Okay, so I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2031.
LeVert's expiring contract?
Yeah, but Caris LeVert helps you.
Yeah, I know, so I'm not getting rid of him.
See, that's...
A ton of second rounders.
That's the conundrum.
I don't see the assets.
You could give up your first round pick, Tyson. You could do that
from this year.
I don't want to do that. Yeah. I think he's a player.
216-474-0092. That is the number to call. When we come back, we're going to talk to Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Get a little NFL talk. We're going to see who he likes this weekend as well in the AFC and NFC Championship.